हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Raya. Page 75. Kalao Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam Nama Durlabham Naiva Labhyate Brahmarudra Padokt Kritsnam Guruna Katitam Mama. In this age of Kali, the fame of one who is known as a great devotee is very rare. However, such a position is superior to that of the great demigods like Brahma and Mahadev. This is the opinion of all spiritual masters. In the Itihasa Samuchaya, Narada tells Pundarika, Janmantara Sahasreshu Yasyasyad Bhudhir Idrishi Dasoham Vasudevasya Sarvalokam Samudhare. After many, many births, when a person realizes that he is the eternal servant of Vasudeva, he can deliver all the worlds. In the Adi Purana, in the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, it is said, Paktanam Anugachanti Muktaya Shutibhi Saha. The most exalted position of liberation is given by Vedic knowledge. Everyone follows in the footsteps of the devotee. Similarly, in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, it is further stated, Yadyapi cha muni shreshta brahmadya api devataha. Until now, even the great demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva did not know the influence of a devotee. The Garuda Purana similarly states, Brahmananam sahasrebhya satra yaji vishishyate satra yaji sahasrebhyas sarva vedanta paraga sarva vedanta kotya vishnu bhakto vishishyate vaishnavaram sahasrebhya ekantyeko vishishyate. It is said that out of thousands of Brahmins, one is qualified to perform sacrifices. And out of many thousands of such qualified Brahmins, expert in sacrificial offerings, one learned Brahmin may have passed beyond all Vedic knowledge. He is considered the best among all these Brahmins. And yet, out of thousands of such Brahmanas who have surpassed Vedic knowledge, one may be a Vishnu Bhakta, and he is most famous. Out of many thousands of such Vaishnavas, one who is completely fixed in the service of Lord Krishna is most famous. Indeed, a person who is completely devoted to the service of the Lord certainly returns home back to Godhead. Right, so, this trying to establish that the position of the devotee is beyond anything else in the universe. Even the position of Brahma, Shiva, this and that, it's more glorious. Doesn't mean that everyone's not respected according to their position. It means everybody respects Brahma, right? So these etiquettes will remain, but the position is actually greater because Brahma is the most pious living entity in the universe. But that's not enough to take you back to Godhead, right? Because every living entity, when they come into the material world for the first time, they come in as Brahma. Because if you come from the spiritual platform, you have unlimited piety, so you're going to be Brahma just automatically. No one's going to have, anyone from the material world will never have as much piety as you. And look at the material world. How many living entities are here? So being Lord Brahma, how much did it help all the living entities inside the universe? Right? It's unlimited. You can't count them. And they were all Brahmas. So that's the point. The point of the devotee is much greater because it's directly focused on the Lord, trying to please the Lord, trying to please them in, you know, and develop the come to the platform of prema. That position is way greater than any power, any knowledge, any authority that anybody else may have. But still, you follow the etiquette. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's an important point, because if the universe is created by Krishna to become a devotee, then anybody who is a devotee is actually doing what the universe is for. Right? So now Brahma is a devotee, then that's great. Then he's special because he's a devotee, not because he's Brahma. Shiva is a devotee, that's why he's great, not because he's Lord Shiva. Right? As far as Ishwaras go and that, then they're very big on the food chain. Right? You know, they're very high up there. But at the same time, that's not what's special, because the material world has to be managed. But it has a purpose. Has a purpose. And that's to go back to Godhead. Yes.
That's why in the 12th canto it is mentioned about the four kinds of inhalation.
Okay.
That first one is continuous, which happens at every moment.
Right.
Then occasional, like Manmantara or Day of Brahma.
Yes.
And then elemental, which is at the end of life of Brahma.
Okay.
And the final is when the living entity leaves and goes back to Godhead.
Godhead, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it stands supreme of all, because all the other three will just keep going on. Yeah. There's also the statement in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3.13.4. Shrutasya pumsam suchira shramasya nan van jasa suribhir irdito ritam. No, irditor tam, or irditor taha. Tat tad guna nu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu yesham. After much hard labor, a person highly learned in Vedic literature certainly becomes very famous. However, one who is always hearing and chanting the glories of the lotus feet of Mukunda within his heart is certainly superior. Right? Because they're mentioning that someone's there, they're a Brahmin, so they're following that lifestyle and that's very good. That's the best of humans. Amongst those, then those who are performing the big sacrifices, because then they're Twija. Right? Dvija means then you do your Shaligram Puja, you know, the general things that you do, the household yagyas and all those kind of things. But Dvija means then you can do all those big Agni, all those big, you know, like the Agni, what do you call this? The one with the horse?
Ashwamedha,
the Rajasuya, all these ones. That's a different, it's a third, it's another level. So they're even better because they know more, they can do these things, the purity has to be greater. Then greater than that is one who's gone beyond that and who's renounced, you know, and come to that transcendental, that spiritual platform of not being connected with the material world. But better than that's the position of the devotee. So even a neophyte devotee is better than those other three. But etiquette-wise, always remains. But the point is the situation is better. There is no better position than being a devotee, since the material world designed for everyone to become a devotee. So you can be the biggest, most famous, most powerful, richest, whatever it is. But if you're not a devotee, you're not actually doing what you're supposed to be doing here. It's just like in the prison. There's the biggest, you know, most powerful, most influential prisoner that's in there. But that's not what the prison's for. The prison's for reforming oneself and going back out into society. Right? Does that make sense? So sometimes we have to be very careful not to get distracted by the material positions and facilities. Because those are here, yes, but they're supposed to be, they're here to be engaged in Krishna service. And if they're not engaged in Krishna service, then one's not doing what one's supposed to do with them. That's all, it's that simple. In the Narayana Vyuhastava, it is said, Naham Brahmapi Bhuyasham Tvad Bhakti Rahito Hare Twai Bhaktas Tukito Pi Bhuyasham Janma Janmashu. I do not aspire to take birth as Brahma, if Brahma is not a devotee of the Lord. I shall be satisfied simply to take birth as an insect if I am given a chance to remain in the house of a devotee. Yes. Narayana Vyuhastava. There are many similar verses in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then he puts this into one of his songs, this point. Unless, of course, that set of songs is called Narayana Vyuhastava. I'm not sure, but it might be. There are many similar verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, especially 3.25.38, 4.24.29, 3.31.22, 7.9.24, and 10.14.30. Means especially, means there's more than that. But these are very good, very strong examples. It was Lord Shiva who said, I do not know the truth about Krishna, but a devotee of Lord Krishna knows all truth. Out of all the devotees of Lord Krishna, Prahlad is the greatest. I mean, that's good for the winter. Near the back wall, might get a little sun, you know. Yeah, it was Lord Shiva who said, I do not know the truth about Krishna, but a devotee of Lord Krishna knows all the truth. Out of all the devotees of Lord Krishna, Prahlad is the greatest. Right? So, truth means Krishna. That's the definition. Any other definition is actually not a full definition. It's something that's to be brought in line with this full definition, but it's not brought in line, it actually does not become truth. So much of the time it's taken facts. The circumstantial facts are truth. No, those are to be used in Krishna's service. Then they become truth. But if they're not, then they're just mundane like everything else. Facts are facts.
Truth means absolute.
Absolute truth. Otherwise, it's not real truth. It's a temporary truth that today is one thing and tomorrow is another. But people, because people are looking for karma and jnana, then they want these facts to find the best way they can take advantage. So whichever way they can take advantage, that's truth. Right? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that the journalist says, we just want the truth, means we want some facts that are good for our particular, you know, broadcast. Because there's so many other facts, they're not getting involved in that. Right? So it's just certain ones. Whatever's good for them, whatever will make money for them, what will ever increase their prestige or viewers, that's truth. Those facts they want. And another journalist that's in a competitive one, they have different facts that they want. You know? So that's the whole thing. People just go for their advantage, not for their disadvantage. Okay. Yeah? Above Prahlad, the Pandavas are supposedly more advanced. Above the Pandas are the members of the Yadu dynasty. Right? Because everyone's situated according to their flavor and all that, so they're perfect. But you're showing the intensity. If you're going by intensity, then in that way you can say supposedly more advanced. This means the relationship is more intense. Above the Pandavas are the members of the Yadu dynasty, who are even more advanced. Right? Because the Pandavas are a branch of Dwarka. They're not actually the main players. They're a satellite of the whole thing. So that Mathura, Dwarka, and Hastinapur, or Indraprastha, that's all, they're all connected as one scene. In the Yadu dynasty, Uddhava is the furthest advanced. And above Uddhava are the damsels of Brajabhumi, the gopis themselves. In the Brihad Vamana Purana, Lord Brahma tells Bhrigu, Shasti Varsha Sahasrani Maya Taptam Tapaf Pura Nanda Gopa Vrajashtrinam Pada Renu Palabhyate. I underwent meditation on austerities for 60,000 years just to understand the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis. Still, I could not understand it. To say nothing of me, even Lord Shiva, Lord Sesha, and the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, could not understand it. Because they already have their relationship, so they can't change their relationship to that and understand. So they're just saying it's a very, you know, it's a very special position. Because understanding doesn't mean, oh, okay, yeah, Krishna goes out with the gopis, okay, I got that. You know, he doesn't go out with the cowherd boys and dance at night, you know, like that. So that's not what it means. It's not about facts. It's about the particular nature of the relationship, the taste they have. that's why Ramananda Rai was mentioning the point that only these finer points can only be explained by someone in the rasa. Conjugal rasa can only be explained by conjugal rasa. Like that. That's just the way it is. It means you can get some understanding of the situation of it, the position of it, like that, who's involved in it, these you could see. But actually that taste and that aspect, that cannot be appreciated.
Well, it's interesting how the most fallen of living entities can rise from the bottom all the way to access to Braj. And yet you have great personalities like Shiva and Brahma and Nada, and then you can't go in.
Yes. Yeah, no, because it's their, yeah, everyone according to their position. Like that. Because the living entity, from what position they're at, if they fall to the material world, when they go back, they'll be in the same position. You know, it's just that Lord Shiva may not fall, but Lord Shiva is always Lord Shiva. And so then that's the position. And so when we say Lord Shiva, we mean Lord Shiva who's doing Lord Shiva stuff. Right, we don't mean Gopeshwar or something. Right. That's not what's meant, because they're meaning being, you know, the Lord of the universe, you know, the incarnation of Godhead. No, you can't. Just like Lakshmi, she can't understand. Like that. Does that make sense? But there's an origin to Lakshmi. They can understand. Like that. Yes, Lakshmi will be coming from Rukmini. Rukmini comes from Radharani. Yeah. So, yeah. In the Adi Purana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself says, Natata me priyatamo brahma rudrascha partiva nacha lakshmir nachat macha yata gopi jano mama. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the goddess of fortune, and even my own self are not as dear to me as the gopis. End quote. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are the most exalted servitors of Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who adhere to their service are known as Rupanugas, Rupanuga devotees. The Chaitanya Chandamrita 26 gives the following statement about Srila Rupa Goswami. Astam vairagya kotir bhavantu samadama kshanti maitriyadi kotis tatvanu dhyana kotir bhavatu va vaishnavi bhakti kotihi. Kot yamsho pyasya nasyat tad api guna gano yas svata siddha aste sri mach chaitanya chandra priya charana naka jyotir amodha bhajam. The qualities of ones engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, such as reputation, austerities, penance, and knowledge, are not to be compared to the good qualities of others, such as the perfection of a devotee always engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, so the reputation, the austerities, penance, and knowledge of those engaged in the service are not to be compared to the good qualities of others. Right? Others may have good qualities, but you can't compare them to those who are serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if Rupa and Sanatan are the main servitors, then you can't compare their qualities to anybody else. Right? It's just, that's the unique position. So one shouldn't do that. One shouldn't make relative Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and then try to compare the devotees to the non-devotees and try to balance, you know, okay, who's got the better quality? That's foolishness. You can't do that. Really? 2.8.247. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, of the many capitalists who possess great riches, who is the topmost? Ramananda Rai replied, he who is richest in love for Radha and Krishna is the greatest capitalist. So then, yes, then in that way then, being a great capitalist is good. If that is your wealth. Srila Prabhupada, everyone in this material world is attempting to acquire riches to satisfy the senses. Actually, no one cares for anything other than acquiring material possessions and maintaining them. The wealthy are generally accepted as the most important personalities in this material world. But when we compare a material man of wealth to one wealthy in devotional service to Radha and Krishna, the latter is found to be the greatest capitalist. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.39.2, Kim alam hyam bhagavati prasanne shri niketane tatapi tatpara rajan nahi vanchanti kinchana. What is difficult for the devotees of Lord Krishna, who is the shelter of the goddess of fortune? Although such devotees can obtain anything, O king, they do not desire anything. Because if you have the wealth of the remembrance and absorption in service to the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, what else do you require? Nothing else is important. So that's the greatest position. You know, just like you have somebody, they are, let's say, a celebrity, so you have an actor or something. They're there, they have the same qualities and abilities that they had before. But before, when they have no wealth, nobody cares. And then when they have wealth, now they care. Right? But and you can say, yes, that's fair. But there's also the aspect of, oh, no, but they're famous here. You know, one, it's an opulence, and so therefore that way they know. But you'll notice that out of those celebrities, those actors who are famous, the ones that have more money are generally more reputed. You know? Is that, yeah. So the devotee just doesn't need anything, because if he has that, because what is here? It's like, who's in a better position by the society? You know, in the vice of society. You have, let's say, a general person who is coming and maybe going on tour through the prison, or that you know, the foremost, you know, and baddest of all the prisoners who runs the place. That common citizen is in a better position. So that's the whole point, is when you're looking at it from the perspective of the spiritual world and Krishna's pastimes, then automatically devotees are the best. But if you look at it from the position of the material world, then you'll be going, well, how is that? No, but they have more of this or that, or they have this quality or that, or they care so much, or whatever. Right? One's just using the wrong measurement.
One from the material world,
yes. And so we're trying to, all these quotes are trying to make us switch our perspective. So we start to see from the spiritual platform. Therefore, that's why it's said, for the devotee, when someone takes up devotional service, they don't have to change their position. Because Krishna consciousness means you see everything in your position in context of Krishna, how it pleases Krishna. So, you do what you need to do with your position to please Krishna. So if how it's going now, you can use that to please Krishna, then it's done. But if there's something about your position that's not right in pleasing Krishna, you'll adjust it to make it please Krishna. Does that make sense? So you have to understand is that it's just like, are the devotees like fasting all day? No, they're eating. Yeah, people are eating, you continue eating. You just offer it to Krishna. That's the principle. You don't have to change that you eat. But in eating, you want to offer it to Krishna. So if what you're eating is not offerable to Krishna, you change what you eat so it can be offered to Krishna. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Someone's a chandala. So his social position is such, he still acts in that position, but he adjusts his life that it's offerable to Krishna. You know? And for a chandala, even if, let's say, you offer a Saint Bernard or a Great Dane or, how we one of those, what are those funny, wrinkly Chinese dogs? Huh? Cho-cho? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Still, Krishna is not going to accept it. So you're going to have to change what you eat.
Who? Chinese, they eat them?
These ones were too cute to eat. That's what. Do you see any other dogs in China? No, literally. Do you see dogs on the street?
You see dogs with dog owners.
Yes, dogs with dog owners. No strays. That's the thing, is that in India, what do we do with all these stray dogs? China's worked it out. We eat them, of course. But they're all brought from somewhere else, right? Because the local dogs are all gone. Because right? The local dogs will be what we got. That's local dogs. If you think about it, you know, it's just something really funny. These guys that are running around on the street here in Mayapur in India, they're thoroughbreds. They're an actual original species. And they only amongst themselves, because nobody cares. So they're thoroughbreds. Really? Isn't that far out? There's certain species, there's a name for them. But they're one of the oldest. Most of what we know, they're all taken and put together and combined and made into, some Franken dog or whatever it is, But these are an original species and they're thoroughbreds. Never thought of it like that, huh? See, India is so prestigious, even the dogs running around in the street are all thoroughbreds, right?
The next one will say they speak Sanskrit.
They speak Sanskrit, yes. Well, you do have that story of that one dog speaking Sanskrit. Like that.
The last 10 days, there's some heavy howling. You know that?
Yeah.
They're not like the little dog. Something like a wolf.
Oh, you have jackals. I mean, jackals, you have a lot of them. You seen the jackals?
Yeah, but they're not. Jackals, they're like laughing. You know?
These
guys are heavy howling. They're moving on top of the mountain.
These guys do it sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Mating season.
Yeah, basically.
Very good.
thoroughbreds. Two eight, 248. Moving on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, of all kinds of distress, what is the most painful? Sri Ramananda Rai replied, apart from separation from the devotee of Krishna, I know of no unbearable happiness, unhappiness. Srila Prabhupada, concerning this, the Lord states in the Vedic literature, Mam anarajya dukarta kutamba sakta manasa satsanga rahito martyo vridha seva parichuta. A person who does not worship me, who is unduly attached to family, and who does not stick to devotional service, must be considered a most unhappy person. Similarly, one who does not associate with Vaishnavas, or who does not render service to his superior, is also a most unhappy person. There is also the following statement in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita 1544. Sva jivan jivan adikam pratyam shri vishnu jana sangata vichedena kshanam chatrana sukam sam labha mahe. Out of all kinds of desirable things experienced in the life of a living entity, association with the devotees of the Lord is the greatest. When we are separated from a devotee, even for a moment, we cannot enjoy happiness. 2.8, that was from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. 2.8, 249, 250. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired, out of all liberated persons, who should be accepted as the greatest? Ramananda Rai replied, he who has love for Krishna has attained the topmost liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next asked Ramananda Rai, among many songs, which song is to be considered the actual religion of the living entity? Ramananda Rai replied, that song describing the loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna is superior to all other songs. Srila Prabhupada. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.36, Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham deha ashtita bhajate tadrishi kridha yah shutva tad paro bhavet. Lord Krishna descends apparently as a human being, and he exhibits his transcendental pastimes of Vrindavan, so that the conditioned soul may be attracted to hearing his transcendental activities. Non-devotees are strictly prohibited from participating in songs celebrating the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. Unless one is a devotee, it is very dangerous to hear the songs about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that were written by Jayadev Goswami, Chandidas, and other exalted devotees. Lord Shiva drank an ocean of poison, but one should not imitate this. One must first become a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. Only then can one enjoy hearing the songs of Jayadev and relish transcendental bliss. One simply imitates the activities of Lord Shiva and drinks poison, one will certainly meet with death. The talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai are meant for advanced devotees only. Those who are in the mundane platform and who study these talks in order to put forward some thesis for a PhD will not be able to understand them. Instead, these conversations will have a poisonous effect. So in other words, pick another topic for your thesis.
I'd like to go back, if I can, to the
capitalist one.
Statement about association with devotees.
Okay.
I saw in one letter, Prabhupada says, 2 people or 200 people, that's association. It doesn't matter whether it's just you and another person, or whether you are with 100 devotees.
Yes.
Association with association.
Yes.
Then there is the question of, let's say we don't have association, Can you count as association reading Shastra?
Yes, because you're directly associated with these personalities. But if you have opportunity for being with devotees, why wouldn't you take it? But if you can't, then by reading the Vedic literatures, like here, we're associating with Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Rai, Srila Prabhupada, then in different quotes, Sanatana Goswami, and other personalities. So that's the whole thing, is we always, you know, keep ourselves in that association.
Now, if someone, for some reason, feels that I'd rather be on my own, is there something wrong with the process with that person?
Or basically, otherwise... But it's the same difference, because it may be the conditioned personality, but the point is that why would one identify with it? If it's not valuable in Krishna's service, what's the point of identifying with it? Right? The point is you have some position, then it's used in Krishna's service. So how is it service to Krishna to be on their own? Right? Unless there are no devotees, so then you'd be on your own to avoid bad association. But, you know, it has to be based on devotional service, not on you like somebody, don't like somebody, this kind of thing. Because in any case, you always have Krishna in the heart.
Yes.
You know, so you're always with somebody. Okay. Those who are on the mundane platform who study these talks in order to put forward some thesis for a PhD will not be able to understand them. Instead, these conversations will have a poisonous effect. Poisonous meaning now they will consider them on the material platform. So now even hearing about them from the bona fide devotees, they'll think that they're mundane. So they won't be able to advance devotionally. Like that. So that's why then the materialists should stay away from these things. You know, there's enough things to, you know, deal with. I mean, the tsetse flies are in so many regions, so you can do yours on the tsetse fly in a different region than what's already been done. You know, stay away from Radha and Krishna. 2:8, 2:51, 2:55. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is best for the living entity? Ramananda Rai replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, right? So of all the different things, you say, no, we should be doing this, that, and all these different things, but it's association of devotees that's the most important. You know, oh, we should be, you know, doing pious activities and this and trying to impress the public and that, you know, we're a bona fide and this and that. We're bona fide because we've been authorized by Krishna and his representatives. We don't need the karmis to acknowledge that. And so the point is by doing whatever activities you do, whatever preaching activities are there, it's about associating with devotees. Either we're associating or giving others the opportunity to associate. But trying to put on the show of good qualities is not actually important. Yes.
Sometimes we have a feeling that we associate with devotees, but actually we just share the space with them. It's not necessarily association as it is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
So what would be the difference?
Well, in any case, sharing the same space as other Vaishnavas is better than sharing space with materialists. Like that. But just by being in their association, that's already pious. Now, if you can take advantage of that by hearing and chanting and serving, then you're getting, you know, the full advantage. So the point is to hear and chant about Krishna, serve Krishna. You know, bring yourself closer to Krishna. That's the whole point of association. You know, other things you can do. But if it's not bringing you closer, then... You know, so it's you're either, you know, the of all of them, the best is considered means you're either eating together with Vaishnavas, right? You're discussing topics about Krishna and trying to understand the whole, you know, the process, how it applies to us, exchanging gifts. These are the main ways of association.
This is the real association.
Yes, yes. Like that. Yeah. And so then, you know, and you have practical services that you do, and you may be doing that on your own with other devotees, so you're trying to do the best in that service to please Krishna. And so that's then what you're trying to do. You know? But it should be understood is that these simple things like prasad and confidential discussions and that, these are part of the process, gifts. We can't target them, these three positions, because in the modern liberal consideration, then there may be some weaknesses to them, so then we're going to find all the faults and not let anybody do this, because we're not intelligent enough to define the differences between the particular things. You know, like we see the acharyas in Nectar of Devotion are pointing out what's rasa, what's mixed rasa, and what's rasa bas. So mixed rasa, if it's favorable towards Krishna, then it's all right. But if it's not, it's rasa bas. So they're getting defined, and within this there are exceptions, and then this and that, and the same thing can work and it cannot work. So the fineness is there. So just to make a general rule, because better safe than sorry, then that's just foolishness. So that, you know, devotees talk confidentially and then everybody feels they have the right to know because there's social media and it's so easy. They didn't say this before when he had to do everything by letters. You know, but now it's, oh, everyone has the right to know. That, no, they don't. Who said? Where? Give me the Shastra quote. There's not. Right? You know, that you give gifts. Oh, no, you can't give gifts. I'm the temple president. Everything within this city of 20 million people, I'm in control of the whole thing. Yeah, right. And so, you know, nothing moves without, you know, a blade of grass does not, I say, a centavo does not move without my sanction. You know? And this is that. And literally, they discuss this stuff. And so you can't give. It becomes management rather than Vaishnava association. Confidential speaking becomes part of management and social, political gossip rather than Vaishnava association. And then taking prasad, then, you know, who does that? You know, it's just something you kind of, you know, eat and get by with because everybody's chagis. You know, they don't know what to eat anyway, wouldn't know something good to eat. You know, and so then you lose so much of the culture. So it must be understood, these three are very important. It's not sense gratification. You're connecting this with the devotees, with Krishna, it's not sense gratification. Engaging the senses in Lord Krishna's service, that's bona fide. But if one's idea is that, no, you can't engage the senses at all, that's impersonal philosophy. That's not our philosophy. So we have to be very, very clear what is Vaishnava Seva. Otherwise, if we take the structural considerations above, you know, what we're organizing, then you have a problem. You know, just like we're saying, someone's organizing the kitchen and there's such an organizer and that no one's allowed to touch anything in the kitchen because then it's out of place and all that. No cooking goes on, but they don't care because the kitchen is perfectly organized. So we have to be careful. Social structure has its purpose, but if it's not supporting Vaishnava association, then what's the point?
In continuation of Prabhu's point, in all the scriptures, like Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Jaiva Dharma, we see two kinds of association basically going on. Some is general and some is very private.
Right.
And now we see Mahaprabhu went all the way to the Madras, or that region.
Yes.
Just to meet for, you know, with Ramananda Rai.
Yes.
So then we get a lot of general association. I mean, classes are going on.
Yes.
You know, everything is basically established.
Right.
But then in terms of, like you mentioned me, specific or personal guidance, we don't get as much unless, you know, there's a guru and there's a disciple. So how do we practice this part of the Vaishnava or Gaudiya tradition?
Means you find those who are like-minded and you associate with them and don't worry about anybody else. Means the point is that one tries to follow the order of guru and go back to Godhead. One does one best one's can. And if others have other ideas of what is important, you don't have to associate with them. You respect them, you deal with them, you serve with them. But that doesn't mean that you necessarily get too close with them. Does that make sense? You know, it's like prasad is about honoring prasad, something that's been offered to Krishna. Where does it come up that there's the opportunity to turn it into a political position, that you politicize it and make it, or is it vegan? Or is it organic? What happened to its prasad? It's offered to Krishna. Oh, Krishna won't eat that. Why won't he eat that? He was eating it before when you didn't eat, when you were not vegan or organic. Krishna ate everything. And now that you are, now Krishna doesn't eat? So the whole point is that we'll tend to politicize these things because of our conditioning. So we always have to be aware of that. These things come up, of course, because we tend to act according to our nature. But at the same time, we have to engage that nature in Krishna's service. Otherwise, then Maya will trick us. And we'll be doing something foolish and think, oh, yes, I'm very nicely, you know, no. If you're not a Prabhupada disciple, you can't, you know, worship your guru so anybody else can see because they may feel offended in that. What Vaishnava ever feels offended when a disciple worships their guru? Name me one bona fide disciple, bona fide Vaishnava. If they're offended when somebody else is worshiping their guru, one has to question how bona fide are they, literally. What's their foundation? How do they see? What is it about? What's the position of it? How is it functioning? It's functioning because the chit potency comes down through the Vaishnavas and all that. And it naturally just goes on. It's a society. These things are there. Krishna is not impersonal. He does things with devotees. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that these things are there. You like the guy, you don't like the guy. What does that have to do with anything? Right? I like a motorcycle or don't like a motorcycle, but the guy is going past me and getting to the temple before I get there. I may say it's not bona fide, it's nonsense, but he's at the temple and I'm still in traffic. You know? So the thing is there has to come a point when this self-centered, you know, political forum stops empowering individuals to think that their self-centeredness is all important. You know, we're supposed to be humble, we're supposed to be tolerant. But then it's, no, we can't do this because these people will not tolerate that. It's like, well, who's preaching to them? Who's training them? I mean, how long has it been since 1986? Count the years. 86, 96, 2006, 2016. So then that means 34 years. If in 34 years someone can't move on, we're dealing with some very deep issues here that are issues that are eroding the foundation of their spiritual existence. Okay, something comes up and immediately there's a flash and everybody this and that. That's what, about 20, 36 years later, and we can still talk these kind of things and at the same time say, oh no, we're trying to be up to date and modern and... You know, politics and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. And these are just politics. So that's why we see is Lord Chaitanya is asking questions here, and it just comes back to the association of devotees. When is that made the most important? Nowadays, you have a big meeting. Are any of them about the association of devotees? No, it's about this system, that system. Right? What is it called?
ILS.
Yeah. It was all about systems. And then the one that they had this last time, there's not a peep about it. It was so fabulous. Why it's not going on? What happened to it?
This year is about succession.
Succession, yeah. So that's another political position.
Every class was about succession.
Succession, yeah. It's like this. If you're a good manager and you give association, then and you give people space to apply themselves in Krishna consciousness, naturally people come forward. And then they start to do the work. And as they're doing the work, you step back. If that hasn't happened in the last 50 years, then you're dealing with people who don't know how to manage. Straight, that's simple. It's not, oh no, there's no one there. It's that no one you don't let people do. You understand? So the whole point is that the goal, right? You know, if we're using strategic planning, the goal is to become a pure devotee. That's the strategy. And so if that's not the topic of a discussion, these other things are how that gets that. So someone is saying, no, we're not going to use this plan because that's not going to get us Krishna conscious as good as this plan. But it's just, the guy with the bald head said this. But, oh, you know, the Chinese guy said this thing. And, you know, the other guy said that thing. And that's all we're discussing. You know, nice guys, but wrong acharyas. So we have to, it has to be appreciated that these things have to be the foremost. And then, if you do have dealing with administration, yes, of course you're going to discuss about it. Of course you're going to try to make it as good as possible. But it has to be supporting these five main principles of Krishna consciousness, these direct activities, devotional service, with Vaishnav Seva being the central point. It means if there's Vaishnav Seva, then there'll be Jiva Doya. And if there's Vaishnav Seva, there'll be Nama Ruchi. But if you're only talking about, Jiva Doya, but it's Jiva Doya based on modern material concepts of what's Doya. And there's no Vaishnav Seva, and if you talk about Ruchi, then, oh boy, you know, you're a Samajya. Then how it's balanced? It's centered on Vaishnavs. It said here, the one thing, if you have that, everything else will expand from there. So Lord Chaitanya is doing everything in the association of devotees. Like here, in the association of Ramananda Narai, he's tasting, you know, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. And it says, whenever he's at Gambira, in the association of Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Narai, he's tasting these things. It doesn't say he's on his own tasting and that was the best and all this and that. And then these other guys came and kind of messed it up. It never says that. It just doesn't say that. So one has to appreciate the Vaishnav Seva. That's the central point. And everything will expand from there. Because then, as Prabhu was saying, you get the inspiration, you see the example. You know, others are inspired, you become inspired. And like that, then you go. You do. So everything is there, everything's of useful. But you have to know its place. And if it gets out of place, it's out of balance. And it becomes rasa bas. Like that. But, you know, you have to know what you're dealing with. And so you can't take... You can engage material positions in Krishna's service, but when you engage in... They're not material. But that's because you're using the spiritual standards by which you use them. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like, let us say, you follow the you know, the standard rules that you learn from, you know, family and community about driving. You know, being considerate, and you stop, and someone else is there, you let them go, all the things, and the parking things, and all that kind of stuff. And you can follow all those rules. You can follow, you can stop at the lights, you can do all those things. Now, with that mentality, if your driving skill was very good, would that same person with that same mentality be able to engage in racing?
Yeah,
because he'll follow the rules of the racing. But somebody who can't follow those rules, and he just does whatever he likes and runs around and uses the car, however, would he be able to do those higher levels? No. If you can't drive a car, you can't drive a truck, you can't race, you can't do anything else. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that you are able to... So if you can associate with Vaishnavs, everything else you can do, according to your nature, whatever is there, you can do that. Does that make sense? And if you don't have the association of Vaishnavs, and so that was the point of Gaur Purnima Festival, is to come together for association, not for a meeting. The meeting, since you're here, have your meeting. But if you're only coming for the meeting and then going back, oh, I have to go back because it's, you know, I have to be there to attend my Gaur Purnima Festival. It's kind of like, how many temples you have in your zone? Right? 20? 30? So you're going to be at all of them? No, you're going to be at one of them. So then how are you going to support your whole zone? Mm-hmm. So how is it better than being here? Prabhupada wanted everyone here for association. That's what Gaur Purnima Festival is about. Everyone once a year comes together, all the senior men, all that, they all get together and they do standard stuff together. They go to Mangalarti, they do kirtans, they hear classes, they go to the Ganga. You go on Parikram, they have, you know, you have seminars, all these things you do together. And then it becomes inspired. Then you can go back for another year and you're inspired. You come for a meeting, you burn out, you go back, I'm sure you fly back the day before Gaur Purnima. I'm not sure you're going to be doing a whole lot during Gaur Purnima. So you have to understand, the association of Vaishnavas, that's the most important. So one has to see these things. Yes.
The difference in the conversation between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Prabhu, that first it is established what is the goal of life.
Yes.
And after, when the goal of life is established, after this thing, like that association like that, are like not evolution. But if the goal isn't established in the beginning,
yes.
Association of the things, association with people, you have different goals.
Yes, yes.
So it's not.
That's why Prabhu's question before. You pick association that you can be comfortable in, and that's you both have common way, you know, goals, common ways of doing things, and that you can be relaxed together, because if being around somebody, you always have to be on tiptoes, because at any moment you could say a word that's not the word that they that's politically worked to, you know, it in vogue today, because you're not really in touch with all these things. You can't eat with them because of this, or you can't dress because of that, or you can't have a meeting because of this. So then, you know, you can work with somebody like that, but you can't associate with somebody like that. Right? Means we work because we're doing for Krishna. Whoever is the best at one thing, then they do that thing, and you do whatever you do, and like that, you try to do something nice for Krishna. But associate, you find Swajati, who are similar, like-minded. Because, and they're supposed to be those who are more advanced. And that way, then you're inspired. And the fun thing about the Vaishnava community is, even someone's advanced, they think they're not advanced, they think the other person's advanced. So that way everybody can associate with someone more advanced than themselves. It becomes very, very tasty. You know? So the culture is there, the etiquette's there. And you won't find culture and etiquette in the corporate world. I'm sorry, you won't find it there. You know?
Alright?
Yes.
Jiva Gaur refers to Sankirtan, Krishna.
Yes, the Sankirtan movement.
So, from what you mentioned, it seems there is a natural sequence. The result of good quality Vaishnava seva is jiva dori.
Right.
And
yes.
Jiva dori comes namaruchi. Now, there may be a situation where devotees so much enjoy being with each other, they have no taste for preaching, they just like to be in association.
But generally you find those that really appreciate the association, to be in the association, are the ones that are preaching. You know, that they can actually, you know, if it's sustainable, like that. See, because from Vaishnav Seva, then you have the Jiva Doya. From Jiva Doya, then people take up Vaishnav Seva. And then from Vaishnav Seva, you get Namaruchi. Like this. So that central point is the devotees. Right? So that's the thing. So is that service of the Vaishnavas, that's what nourishes. Right? The other is, you know, it can be inspiring in this, but that's what's the actual nourishment. That's the connection. Because you never see Krishna without devotees. He does anything, he takes devotees with him.
The reason why I'm raising that point is because, you know, we have this situation in China. You know, there are no temples. The association is pretty limited. Devotees meet in apartments.
Yes.
But mostly a lot goes on online. I mean, it's massive. Association online is like, we can't beat the Chinese. They go from one lecture to another, association, non-stop.
Right.
And during that association, they tap into Pauta's books, and all they hear is renounce, renounce, renounce. No Kami is there in Maya. Stay in Krishna consciousness. And it's so hard to get these devotees to actually meet the public, to give them Krishna consciousness. They just like to stay within their own circle.
If that works for them, then they do that. And with time, as they mature, then that naturally that jiva doya will come up, and they'll find opportunities. You know, so you just whatever is working right now. If that's what's working now, and they're all associating, but then you know, then see that they're all associating. But then it'll naturally go as they're associating, then the family members, and then their family, and like this. And so I think they have big families. So even through that, you can expand things very nicely. And then if there's some programs that can invite people, then nice. But I would say as long as they're keeping themselves in good association and they're inspired in that, then that's nice. Because they like you said, there is no temple, so they're in their homes and their things, and these, like, you know, they're going to work, they're doing their things, they're maintaining themselves, and in their free time they're doing things connected to Krishna. So in that way it's perfect. And with time, naturally, they'll find opportunities to expand. So I wouldn't worry about it too much, you know, because they are associating, so everything will come. You know, it's not like they're just associating, sitting around and eating chomian and that's it, you know. And, you know, they're hearing lectures and stuff like that, no? It's a good thing, but I'm just saying you should be hearing also. Yeah. Yes.
We'll see that later. Whatever Mahaprabhu heard from Ramananda Rai, he will tell Rupa and Sanatana those exact same instructions with his own realization. That's the teaching to Rupa and Sanatana.
Yeah. Oh yeah, because he's here first.
Yeah,
yes.
So we've had the discussion with Prakashananda Saraswati.
No, Prakashananda is the last one.
Oh, in here, okay. Because in the Adi Lila, then it'll be one of the first ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, the Adi Lila, they mentioned the pastime of Benares. I think in chapter 7.
In Antya Lila.
No, Adi Lila.
Oh, Adi Lila, yes.
And then the pastime happens. First he goes back to Freud and he tries to get a good down and doesn't do it. And some of them in one killing.
Okay.
Goes back to Freud, then stops in Benares.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. It didn't work the first time.
It's at the end of Adi Lila.
Yes, the last six chapters.
Yeah, because also you have the thing is that if you appreciate all this, then you can appreciate how he was preaching. Because otherwise, the general thing is, oh, we're dealing with intellectuals, we have to be very intellectual. But it's actually, no, you have to be very real. Because they don't have real. You know? Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, out of all auspicious and beneficial activities, which is best for the living entity? Ramananda Rai replied, the only auspicious activity is association with the devotees of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what should all living entities constantly remember? Ramananda Rai replied, the chief objects of remembrance are always the Lord's holy name, qualities, and pastimes. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu further inquired, out of many types of meditation, which is required for all living entities? Srila Ramananda Rai replied, the chief duty of every living entity is to meditate upon the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, where should the living entity live, abandoning all other places? Ramananda Rai replied, he should live in the holy place known as Vrindavan or Brajabhumi, where the Lord performs his rasa dance. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, out of all topics people listen to, which is the best for all living entities? Ramananda Rai replied, hearing about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna is the most pleasing to the ear. Riti. Okay. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada has quoted the following verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, which echoed this conversation in verses 251 to 255. That's what we just read, right? Yes. We are asking you to tell us what is the most perfect welfare activity. I think that in this material world, association with devotees, even if it be for a moment, is the greatest treasure house for mankind. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.230. Sukadev Goswami concludes, the business of the living entity is to always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in every circumstance. The Lord should be heard about, glorified, and remembered by all human beings. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.236. Suta Goswami replied to the sages headed by Shonaka, everyone should very attentively listen to the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should glorify his activities and meditate upon him regularly. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.214. Uddhava said, let me become one of Vrindavan's herbs and plants that are trampled by the gopis, who gave up all connections with family and friends and decided to worship the lotus feet of Mukunda. Those lotus feet are sought by all great saintly persons expert in the study of Vedic literature. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.61. He who faithfully hears about the dealings between Lord Krishna and the gopis in the rasa dance, and he who describes these activities attains to the perfectional stage of devotional service and simultaneously lose material lusty desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.33.39. Srila Prabhupada. A liberated person who hears about the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna is not inclined to have lusty desires. One mundane rogue once said that when the Vaishnavas chant the name of Radha, Radha, he simply remembers a barber's wife named Radha. This is a practical example. Unless one is liberated, he should not try to hear about the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. One is not liberated and listens to a relation of the rasa dance, he may remember his own mundane activities and illicit connections with some woman whose name may also be Radha. In the condition stays, one should not even try to remember such things. By practicing the regulative principles, one should rise to the platform of spontaneous attraction for Krishna. Then and only then should one hear about Radha Krishna Lila. Although these affairs may be very pleasing both to conditioned and liberated souls, the conditioned soul should not try to hear them. The talks between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are conducted on the platform of liberation. So that's why then we hear what their talks are, and then how the acharyas then give and explain and everything, then we're safe. But if we're just reading the original Bengali and that's all and not the purports, then we may not come up with the right understanding. Yes.
this was mentioned quite a few times, and when I was thinking that the liberated souls, they already liberate.
Yes.
So they don't have mundane lust.
Yes.
But then the conditioned souls,
yes,
they should be purified.
Yes.
So there's a mention that if we hear Radha Krishna Leela, it will liberate us, and then we'll get rid of the lusty desires. But then it appears contradictory to Srila Prabhupada saying that the conditioned souls shouldn't hear that, because then they remember some mundane affairs and think, okay, that, you know, it's the same. So how can we resolve this issue?
We can resolve the issue by, because Prabhupada has mentioned it in this way, then since we are hearing about that point of removing all lusty desires from how Prabhupada's explaining it in the Krishna book, in the pastimes on the Rasa Leela. And so we're hearing it from him about the becoming liberated. So we have to see in the Buddha how he's seen it, how he's explaining it and everything, and not interpret that statement from our own standpoint and then find a contradiction in what Prabhupada says. So we're only learning about Radha and Krishna and the Rasa dance from Srila Prabhupada. And he's explaining it very, very carefully, saying that all no Rasa Bhava, everything is done so that one can never make any mistakes about what's going on. And so if one hears it in this way, one will become purified. But it's not that hearing Rasa dances is what you can do. You have to hear it through the acharyas, how they're saying. And even if you are in the liberated platform, you want to hear it through the acharyas. Otherwise, Lord Chaitanya, why is he asking Ramananda Rai? So one has to understand, we should not interpret Srila Prabhupada's statement and then in our own way and then use it against Prabhupada. As the Bengali saying is you take a knife, it's dull, you rub it on the bark of the tree to make it sharp, and then when you think it's sharp, to test it, you cut the tree. So we should be very, very careful about that, because we say, oh no, but you can just listen, that's it, just that there's no restrictions. Everything else has very specific conditions, like you do puja, you just do it anywhere. Sit out in the middle of Highway 101 and do your puja and all that, you know? No, there's a certain place, time, condition, cleanliness, what clothes you're wearing and all that. So hearing Rasa Leela, why there wouldn't be some things like that? You can say, oh no, but it's spontaneous, but are we? So if we're not on the spontaneous platform, then yes, we have to hear according to regulation. We have to hear from authorities, how they explain it. And as we notice in the Nectar of Devotion, that very nicely they're going to all kinds of detail and emotions and physical contact and interactions and things said when it's dealing with any other rasa. But when it comes to conjugal rasa, they give very, very short, very exact answers and don't get into details at all. It's right there. Right in Nectar Devotion. It's right there. So that's the whole thing, is that then that means that you have to be careful about that. And you can only hear about Rasa dance for someone who's there. That's why we hear from the acharyas. So how they're explaining it, that's what we know. But then we'll go off and read things that are by people that are not by our acharyas. Or even if they are, the original book is translated by someone who's not, you know, in Sampradaya. And then one gets distracted. So one has to understand this. Yes, those things are there. You want to read it. It's right there in Krishna book. Go for it. But the point is you wouldn't just read that. You would start at the beginning of Krishna book, read till the end. When you get to the end, start at the beginning. Read through again. How many times you want. But if you just read the Panchadhyaya, there's something wrong. Because the point is the Rasa dance all that's going on in Vrindavan? Radharani does nothing else the whole day except do Rasa dance with Krishna. If she is, it's not our Sampradaya. That's only at night. What does she do all day? Huh? Sleep. Yeah. Cooks for Krishna. You know?
Not sleeping.
Okay. You know? So that's the whole thing, is that What about the rest of the pastimes? What about the rest of the other things? Krishna has interaction with all the Brajbasis. They all have that full surrender. Then within full surrender, you have the aspect of that surrender in that particular rati, that particular taste. But if you don't have that general mood of full surrender, then you can't get into the conjugal ras. Means you can maybe, you know, slot in behind Kubja or something there, but you're not going to attain Braja. So it's there. You can't learn it from Prabhupada and then use it against Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said here, a liberated person who hears about the loving affairs of Radha Krishna is not inclined to have lusty desires. So that's the point. So therefore, if you're hearing it from the authorities and you're hearing it in a submissive way, then it works. But as soon as then we're challenging, then we're not on that platform. We will be distracted.
Also, like, the liberation from the mundane state is mainly where the emphasis is on the name, form and qualities in the initial stage. Like, it's always mentioned, first you chant the name, like you hear the name. Acharya is always mentioned that. And the emphasis is on the name, and then one becomes advanced, then he goes to understand the form, qualities like that. So even when we are reading, the emphasis, if we can go that step by step, that only...
Yeah, because the step by step, sadhana will get you to bhava. Bhava will get you to prema. But if you don't follow sadhana, how do you get to prema? Right? And that's the whole point. And if you have material desire, then you have to use the Vedic rules and regulations to regulate your life so you can engage everything in Krishna's service. You know, so you also have to spend time on your position. Because the point is, okay, let us just say that who's making these comments, they're all sannyasis and brahmacharis. Nice, okay. Then, like that. But at the same time, do they not have any other duties that they're obliged to do as a member of Lord Chaitanya's mission? And so then they have to be doing these things. But if these things are being stated in a wider range than that, then the point is how are they engaging the whole household and everything if they're not, you know, using the Varnashram system, using the directions of the Acharyas and that? And that takes contemplation, that takes thought, how to see everything in connection with Krishna. Like Arjuna, he's a family man, he's a warrior, right? He's not even a Brahmin, you know? But he's engaging all that in Krishna's service. And that's the perfection. Like that. So we have to see is that no one's going to be sitting down and, you know, even those complaining, oh, why can't, you know, it says here we should do, are they reading it all the time? That's all they're thinking about? Sorry about that.
Next year we'll get wireless. Already devotees told me there's some equipment that you don't know, no wires, no nothing.
So there has to be that balance. Because even if someone is appreciating and all that, are they doing nothing? Or they're all engaged in very, very nice dynamic service and preaching and cultivating devotees and doing all these other things, and so therefore they're appreciating. So if you're always absorbed in Krishna's service, that's a liberated position. So one has to understand that then there are those who just sit around and that's what they want to read. You know, get together in their group and then read it like that, but they're not qualified. What are they doing to be on that platform? You know? So that's the whole thing, is that there is personal qualification. So if you're qualified, fine. If you're not qualified, become qualified. You know, everybody should be able to listen to these things, but be qualified. Does that sound in sense? Yeah. Yeah, it's like Srila Prabhupada once. Some devotee had found, I think, one of the books of You have Jayadev, and you have Chandidas, and who's the last one? Vidyapati. I think he found the book by Vidyapati. You know, he was looking at it and this and that, and you know, and he brought it to Prabhupada and says, you know, is this, you know, is that Prabhupada? Oh, okay, nice, like that, told him to go. Because I think he was doing service or that. And, you know, and said, you know, Prabhupada will look at it, you know. So Prabhupada was sitting there, and he came back like 45 minutes later or something. Prabhupada was still reading the book. And then when the devotee came and sat down, and he noticed like this, Prabhupada mentioned some very explicit details of what Radha and Krishna were doing physically. Like that, and the devotee just kind of got up and walked out. He knew, okay, yeah, this is not for me. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that the parental thing you may think of, it's just like you can think of someone else dealing with their kids or like that, and it works. But when you get into the conjugal thing, the natural thing is if something's there, you'll just think back into your own experience. That's just the nature of it, because it's the central point. It's known as Martyaloka. What's the other one? Martya means death. Maitunyaloka. Is that it's a play, because all living entities, they're all divided into male and female. So it's all, that's the central thing. So eating, sleeping, mating, defending is all circled around mating. Because if there's mating, there's defending. And then, you know, mated, then there's eating and sleeping has to go on to mate, you know. So the whole thing is centered around that. So the one has to be very careful that one doesn't bring that into the conversation. So that's why you see the acharyas, when they explain, they're very careful about what they explain, how they explain it. Like that. And especially you see Srila Prabhupada's very careful. Like that. And you see Rupa Goswami is quite subtle and all that. So, to explain all those things, just like to establish Vrindavan as the highest and the gopis as the highest, you don't get into any real detail of the conjugal relationship between Radha and Krishna in Vriyad Bhagavatamrita. Right? And Prabhupada said, Rupa and Sanatana, they're the authorities. They're the close associates. You know? And then Jiva Goswami then shows the tattva that they're talking about. You know? Like that. So, there is, one has to be more delicate with it. And so that's the difficulty. You know? That's the difficulty. So this thing is that, yes, it's done there. Because you have to be very careful. Otherwise, it gets thrown into, oh, but people in general are lusty, so they should hear about Radha Krishna's pastimes. No, there has to be some qualification. Otherwise, they won't actually hear about them. They'll just maybe interesting, but they'll think of all kinds of stuff. So, therefore, people are very serious and this and that. It comes up naturally here and there in discussions in a class, or if you're doing Chaitanya Charitamrita, these stories are going to come up. You're reading Krishna book, those pastimes will come up. But they'll come up just as the other ones came up. Yeah. So then it has its balance. But to focus on this and make this the prominence, then none of the acharyas approve of that. They don't approve. And so there is no system to focus on that exclusively. Not as sadhakas. In bhavasadhana, yes, you're trying to get that exclusive focus. We're trying to get it just that it's on Krishna. We can say it's on Radha and Krishna and all that, but you know, what happens when you're washing your hands after you eat, or you're in the toilet, you're getting ready for bed, are you thinking of Radha and Krishna? And if you're not, then don't claim that that's the position. But you could think of Krishna in all those positions. So self-realization means knowing who you are and then functioning from your platform. And in this, the acharyas are very careful and they very nicely explained it. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's explained it very nicely. Then all the acharyas, they're giving comments on this. And that way then it can work. And then that way, yes, how it's coming in here. We have regular, you know, discussions and readings of Chaitanya Charita, but we're starting at the beginning, going to the end. We're not just reading only Ramananda Roy's pastimes. You know, we're doing the whole thing. Like that. Bhagavatam also, starting at the beginning, going to end. A Krishna book, starting at the beginning, going to the end. Then it works very nicely. Otherwise, there's something wrong. You know? Like that. The gopis are appreciating everybody else's service, and everybody else is appreciating their service. So where does this idea come from? Oh, I can only hear about the gopis. You know, that's Prabhupada's point. Where does that come from? That's not rasik. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's something stunted there. So it's a matter of engaging in service nicely and good association. Then gradually the impurities will go. That one's qualified, that these things will naturally have their position and naturally be part of one's thoughts. But it has to come naturally. But it's not that we're not exposed to it, but it's that we're exposed to all the aspects. You know, it's just like so many years we're discussing so many things, and we're working on this point now, but you see is that sometimes there's these little points of impersonalism that are still stuck. And then we're dealing with those, you know, with Jiva Goswami's works. And so that means it's not there, because others hear these things and they're so absorbed. Gopis just heard about Krishna, like Radharani just heard someone mention something about Krishna, heard someone else mention something else, and the third gopi mentioned a different thing. She thought she was in love with three different boys. She didn't know it was one boy. You know? But us, you know, we hear about, oh, that's very nice and all that. And as soon as they're not, then, you know, back to normal. So you know, therefore, as sadhakas, then we need to understand our position and engage ourselves appropriately. And by following that, that will bring us to that liberated platform where we are qualified for this. But being qualified for this means it's exclusive, not just whenever you feel like it. If it's whenever you feel like it, then when Krishna blows the flute, you will be staying at home. There's where it's exclusive. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. It should be. Is that? Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaura Pranamami.